Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Couples costumes, Donald Glover, and BMW flat tires. We're going to break it all down this week. So everyone, places, it's time for Last Looks. Hello, my dump jumpers, sexy dads, and sluts for wontons. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks. Boy, oh boy, we got a big show in store for you. You are going to get to voice your issues about Wish Upon, and there are many. Plus, Jason and I are going to chat about all the stuff that we are currently into, and we are going to reveal next week's movie, which, for the first time ever, was chosen by fans on our Discord. That's right, you picked the movie. And what is it going to be? Well, you're going to find out in just a little bit. And as always, I'll answer some calls on Paul's helpline. But first things first, a big shout out to Andy Jacob. Andy, that theme song, you killed it. You absolutely destroyed. Thank you so much. I love that so much. And we love all the songs that people are sending in. So if you have a song for Last Looks, send them to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com, but keep them short. 15 to 20 seconds is best, you know, but look, if it's a killer 30-second one, I'm not going to be mad. It just has to be that much better to be that much longer. Anyway, a bit of housekeeping. How Did This Get Made is going on tour. It's a Halloween tour from October 27th to October 30th. Tickets are still available for Indianapolis, Detroit, Cleveland, and Chicago. We'd love to see you there, and we want you to come in costume. Most of these shows are at 7 o'clock at night. You'll be out and on the town by 9:30, which means you can go party and come see us. The best of both worlds. Plus, if you come dressed in costume, there will be prizes. Not great prizes, but prizes. Anyway, get your tickets and find out all the movies that we are doing by heading to our website at hdtgm.com right now. It's going to be fun. Detroit, trust me, it's going to be great. Okay, let's get into it. I know we talk a lot about movies, but there are bigger things out there in the world. You got problems. Let me solve them. It is now time for the Paul Helpline.
Paul's Helpline. Paul's Helpline. Paul's Helpline. Paul's Helpline.
Bam! Thank you, Sean Fogle. Here we go. Let's get into it. I love it. The calls are coming in. We're back on the helpline. What do we got? Anne? Hit me up.
Hi, Paul. My name is Anne, and my husband, Jason, not Manzoukas, does not like dressing up in a costume. I heard you say that you could give couples costume ideas, though, and I knew I needed to call in. I am short and round, so I can't always just buy stuff off the shelf. Any great couples costumes that wouldn't make him feel like he's dressing up? Thanks for your help. I love the show.
Anne, I didn't think anyone was going to take me up on this offer, but I am so glad that you did. I am here for all of your Halloween costume consultations. I swear, great question. Here's what I'll say off the top of my head. You can do so many simple costumes. What if you go as Flo from Progressive, just wear like white pants and a white shirt, and he goes as Jake from State Farm, just red shirt, tan pants. I mean, is it the most amazing one? No, but people will think it's clever. I think that would actually work, right? You could also do some other like very simple ones. You can do Space Jam, right? You just get like two Toon Squad jerseys and you get some basketball shorts. You know, again, we're not talking about crazy ideas here. One of you could be, what's that dude? The Matthew Lillard character from Scooby-Doo. Shaggy, that's what they call him. Well, one could be Shaggy and the other one could be any of the other girls on that show. You know, Velma, just get a red dress and you're set to go, right? You could also do something very simple like, just wear like a black and white shirt and black pants and you're robbers. I'm coming up with a lot. Jim and Pam from The Office, that's an easy one. Just slacks and a shirt and maybe like make a name tag that says Dunder Mifflin, even though technically they didn't wear name tags on the show. I mean, one of you could dress up as, Men in Black. Great costume, right? Easy. Black suits, white shirts, black tie. Tons of attitude. Let's see, what else? What else could there be? I mean, right now, I feel like I gave you some really solid ones. And, you know, like, here's a dumb one, but maybe it will work. Just go, like, theme it up. American Gothic, farmer, lumberjack and lumberjack partner, Girl Scouts, Girl Scout, Boy Scout. You know, very easy. Where's Waldo? You could both just wear that striped shirt, some jeans, some glasses. Again, these are solid ideas. I feel good about them. I feel like any one of them would be perfect and it wouldn't feel like you're actually dressing up, which is the whole point. But you did, and they're clever. So it all worked. Now, because we've gotten only a handful of like real help me problems on the helpline, I sent out a call last week. I said, give me your hot takes about Halloween movies, and you did not disappoint. Let's go first to Larry from West Palm Beach.
Hey, Paul. We're talking about overrated Halloween movies. I gotta say the original Halloween by John Carpenter. This is Larry from West Palm Beach, by the way. But, yeah, that movie's not scary, and when people talk about what they love about it, they really just describe the mythology of really a regular serial killer who's just a guy. He's not creative. He's not fantastic. That movie was the movie my dad made me watch, along with Hunt for Red October and Rima Williams' The Adventure Begins. I just feel like it's, like, troublesome. People like it for other reasons. There's weird wish fulfillment. And the new movies are sort of showcasing weird suburban fantasies. Nobody who I know that loves that movie also loves crazier horror movies usually, with the exception of like Matt Gourley. Yeah, so original Halloween, not scary, not entertaining, kind of troublesome. Bye.
Whoa! Bam! Larry, hot take. Well, look, I just talked about Halloween for a long time on Unspooled, but I don't disagree with you. The original Halloween is a straight-up stalker movie. It then bred this idea of rules for horror, but to your point, I think the movie is scarier than you might remember it, but I also don't think of it as a horror movie. I think of it more as like truly like a true crime story, if that makes sense. I mean, there's no horror elements in it besides just being chased by a person, but that person has no powers or abilities that are unlike anyone else, except, you know, lifting up that grave. Now, I'll tell you this. You can talk all you want about Halloween, but you cannot talk shit on Remo Williams. I'm sure that movie did not age well, but Fred Ward was awesome in it. And I think Joel Grey is definitely doing a very problematic performance. So I may have to take that back. But I will say I loved Remo Williams when I was a kid. And I cannot believe that as a child, you wouldn't love Remo Williams. Remo Williams is like the cool James Bond. They have a fight on the Statue of Liberty at the end, I believe. Oh, man. The adventure began and ended with that movie. But that was a tough title. Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. And then there was no sequels. So sorry. But I don't disagree with you. And we talk a lot about Halloween and the effects of Halloween. But I do have an appreciation for Halloween, more for what it did. But also, I lament how it wrecked the horror business in a way, because it was so good. Anyway, Sam from Chicago, what do you got?
Hey, boss. Thought you were asking for movie hot takes. This is Sam from Chicago. Mine is, honestly, and I'll die by this, I enjoyed the Tom Cruise Mummy movie. It is, I know, super fundamentally flawed. Everything about it is kind of a mess. However, Russell Crowe as Dr. Heckel, Mr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I mean, I was about it. I could have done the Dark Universe, so I don't know. I could have done more of Tom Cruise's Mummy. Thanks. Have a good one. Bye.
Sam, please, do not die by this. It's not worth it. It's not worth dying for Tom Cruise's Mummy. But I get what you're saying. Look, Tom Cruise is in a weird moment where he made a couple of films that just didn't fit exactly right, but they had these glimmers of like great Tom Cruise goodness. And The Mummy does not work, but it's also watchable. And I think that we're used to a higher standard with Tom Cruise films, but you're right. Russell Crowe is great. There's a great scene in like an airplane that I remember being good. You know, mummies are tricky. I think mummies in general are tricky. But anyway, I would have liked to have seen the Dark Universe, a version of that. I think we could have given it another shot. We should have given it another shot. God damn it. Trump wasn't in office. We could have done it, people. But you know what? Where were you on voting day? Because Trump was all about killing the Dark Universe. We all knew it. We all knew it from the minute he came down from Trump Tower that day. He's like, I will kill the Dark Universe if you elect me. I mean, it was a terrible day. Anyway, we are always looking for more Paul's Helpline voicemails. So if you need some advice or a second opinion, or maybe you have another movie hot take, we'd love to hear it. But again, I am here for you. If your neighbor makes a strange loud noise or your coworker chats your ear off so you can't get to work, give me a call, 619-PAUL-ASK, that's 619-728-5275. Now, people, what do I want to plug? Well, very simple. You can watch Jason on Paper Girls. They didn't pick it up for a second season, but the first season is really fun. You can watch me on Star Trek Lower Decks and the Paramount Plus show, The Good Fight with Christine Baranski. It's a spinoff of The Good Wife. It was super fun. I play a lawyer who represents a fetus. And you know what? Andre Brower is on this season, making an already amazing cast even better. I am on, I don't even know what the episode is, but it's the one where Carrie Preston returns. If you're familiar with The Good Wife, Carrie Preston is an amazing actress and her character is just awesome. I got to do scenes with her and Andre Brower and Christine Baranski. It was a dream come true and super intimidating and nerve-wracking. Anyway, we'll be right back with your questions, comments, and concerns about Wish Upon after this. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. Last week, we talked at length about Wish Upon. We had questions. We might have even missed a few things. I mean, I don't know how it's possible, but it might have happened. And here is your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and omissions.
You got corrections, maybe some omissions. We got some problems, and this is where we fix it. We didn't fuck up, maybe you fucked up. Corrections and omissions.
Thank you, Young William. Love Young William. Thank you. Love that song. All right, let's go to the Discord. The Discord is where we have all of our current conversations. Just go to discord.gg/hdtgm. All right, Dr. Guts writes, so when Claire wishes for things to go back to the way they were on the day she got the box, she isn't just losing her mom, but those two siblings that she suddenly gained when she brought her mom back to life, right? I mean, losing them never really seems to be considered by Claire. She doesn't spend much time with them, but it still seems cold. Oh, come on, Dr. Guts. At this point, those kids were like, it was like visiting your best friend's kids. It's like, okay, they're cute, but they're not mine. I don't give a shit. She didn't care. She barely saw him. Eh, it's like a day. It's like you met somebody for a day. You don't have to, you're not going to be that upset about it. So I cut Joey King some slack on that. Thelonious writes, I laughed when you said the director added the flat tire scene just to make time for the elevator crash scene. I watched this movie with my husband, who is kind of a car nerd, and he said there is no way the writer or director knows this car. That is because the BMW vehicle he is driving comes standard with run flat tires, which allows you to drive on a flat top for up to 50 miles. So the dad would never have to pull over. Well, Thelonious, my God. Come on. That's your concern about that scene? the flat tire technology? But you know what, Thelonious? Your husband is a smart person. Kudos to your husband. Keelan from Alberta writes, after Joey King wishes her dad wouldn't embarrass her so much, Ryan Phillippe's beard starts to appear and disappear from scene to scene. In one scene, he's totally hot sauce. Next scene, he's a dump jumper. And then back to hot sauce again. Well, look, I can't explain it. I can't. I don't know. Maybe he's shaving less or more or inconsistently, and that makes him hot. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes having a little stubble makes you hot. I don't know. I think he's still a dump jumper, but then he breaks in with his music career, and then he gets in that terrible car accident, almost car accident. Cameron H. Oh, here he is. Cameron H. writes, this might be one of those things that is just not in my experience, but I feel like the easiest way for Claire to not be embarrassed by her dump jumping father is just to not draw attention to it. So, like, you know, if you really have a problem with your father's dumpster diving and you're worried that people might make fun of you for it, maybe don't walk over to him in the front of the whole school and have a huge fight about it. Well, first of all, I agree with you. I think the simpler answer, Cameron, is just tell your dad, hey, don't pick up trash in front of my school when the first bell is ringing. That's the easiest answer. You don't have to do anything more than that. Hey, Dad, don't do that. It seems like he's actively embarrassing her. Like of all the places in town, he's got to get to that dumpster at that time. Come on now. But anyway, you know, our producer Scott thinks that, Cameron, maybe you should start your own helpline, you know, specifically for children of dump jumpers. You could learn, they could teach, and you could advise. Anyway, another omission, but this one's coming from another producer. This is from our producer, Molly, from our Love on a Leash episode. Stephen Kramer Glickman, a.k.a. the voice of Alvin Fang, revealed that the only payment he received for his work on the movie Love on a Leash was two cantaloupes and a bag of wontons. So perhaps being a slut for wontons isn't so far-fetched after all. Boom! Molly spikes the ball. Set me up. I don't even know where we're going until I read that. Way to go, Molly. Let's go to the phones. Mike from L.A. with an omission.
Hey there, amigos. This is Mike in L.A. Love the Wish Upon show. One thing, though, I think was a missed opportunity when they made the movie. Seven. It's seven wishes. Why not make the box seven-sided? Instead, they made it eight-sided. Now, I know the octagon is a shape used in Chinese things, like I think it's called the Bagua with a yin-yang symbol in the middle, but hear me out. Eight is considered a good number, like for prosperity, whereas seven, I Googled and one site mentions the word for seven in China, sounds like the word for to deceive. So you tell me, what works better? Thanks, and stay cool.
Thank you, Mike. I will stay cool. Best sign-off I've heard so far. Yes, I love your theory here. I'm all for a heptagon, but I actually love that you did the research and found out. And when you look at a heptagon, by the way, it looks cool, but I love that you did the research that it actually proved your point. Way to go, Mike from LA. LA, bring in the heat. You know where the Dodgers failed? You stepped up. Jorge got a lot of questions. Here we go.
Hello, Paul. This is Jorge. I was one of the unfortunate listeners who watched Wish Upon, and I have a few questions which you are in no way obligated to answer. First off, if the mother in the film had made several wishes on that box enough to know that it was a demon box, why did the dad not recognize it when he pulled it out of the trash? And second, why was Joey King a full-on serial killer? Because she knew when the boyfriend, whose name I cannot remember, said, there's a blood price. She knew that people were being killed, so why did she not stop wishing? Does she not care about these lives anymore? Is the box affecting her in some way? Why was that not shown? But also, third and final, and this does not matter at all, there are actually teenagers who do love the multiverse. I know a few of them, and they're fun to talk to. Goodbye.
All right, Jorge. Let's break this down. First of all, I'm going to say that why is Joey King a serial killer? Well, I think it goes hand in hand with the my precious, yes, the Gollum element of the box. The box makes you crazy. It makes you feel like you're on drugs. It is a perfect distillation of just only wanting that pleasure for yourself and no one else. So I buy that on, yes, it's out of character, but she's really losing herself. And All right, teens love the multiverse. I'm not a teen. I love the multiverse, too. Are we going to get Dr. Doom in Armor Wars like I read on some Marvel site the other day? I could ask my friend Yasser, who's writing it, but I won't because I don't want to be spoiled. I do want Dr. Doom. Who should play him? I don't know. That's a big question that I have with my friends. I'm sure it will be a good choice, but I really want... I think there could be a really cool choice for Dr. Doom. I want it to be an older actor. Anyway... but we're using up all of our old actors. We're using up all of our great ones. Anyway, we'll get into all that. Okay, but to answer your first question, why did the dad not recognize the box? Let's go back to the Discord. LD has a theory. LD, and I hope it's Larry David, writes, perhaps I was giving the movie too much credit, but I thought that the mom's seventh wish was the same as Joey King's, to have everything back to the way it was before she received the box. That's why there wasn't any evidence of the previous wishes to improve her circumstances. It was also then to foreshadow that it was impossible to beat the box, and Joey King was still doomed to die. LD, you totally, you know, that was an LD going for a TFW. Great. I like that theory. Could it have used a little bit of underlining in the film? Yes, absolutely. But anyway, let's move over to another Discord post from Anacula. My take on the mom why would Claire be killed by an accident after her seventh wish when the mom's suicide is intentional and premeditated enough for her to send the daughter down the street so she wouldn't see it happen? Assuming the mom, like Claire, couldn't read the more obscure Chinese characters and didn't know about the seventh wish kills the wisher rule, I think she made a few wishes, realized the consequences of the corrupting nature of the box, and then got rid of it and ended her own life either out of grief or guilt, or she wouldn't be tempted to make more wishes so that she could potentially kill her husband or child. That said, the movie gives us so little to work with that so many interpretations are possible. And you know what? Anacula, I love that because that actually shows that the mom has a soul, right? Because it's like, oh, she realizes that she can't have control over herself. She will fall victim to the box again. And I like that she committed suicide. It wasn't probably seven wishes because I was going to say at least one point, Joey Bick, remember that time we won $1 million? Dad's like, yeah, but then we lost it 3 days later. Because I like that. Let's go back and remake that in Acula. Great way to go. Let's check in with Jammer Lee. I keep on thinking about what June said about the box not playing music when Claire got hit by the truck. I always thought it was the box's curse claiming her, but now I'm second guessing it. Perhaps the box knew it didn't need to do anything. When we first see Claire riding her bike by her uncle's house, she starts to circle back into the street without checking for traffic, which is when the bullies almost hit her. This girl does not know how to look both ways before crossing the road. So I think I'll take that scene as foreshadowing and that she was just destined to be run over, box or no. Jammer Lee, I love that. And you know what? What I like about that is the box isn't just going to kill you outright. The box may pick a moment, but you are going to die. But the box does know everything. Again, the box has a lot of credit in this universe. Producer Scott chimes in, and he has a plausible theory that he found on Reddit about the incorrect IMDb trivia saying that Danny Glover was initially offered the role of Claire. Perhaps whoever wrote the trivia mixed up Danny Glover with Donald Glover. Whoa, that makes sense. That makes a lot of fucking sense. Okay, you know what? That really good job, Reddit. I don't even know who came up with that on Reddit. Oh no, it was Lupulin13. You know what? We've never given a correction and omission winner to someone outside of the Discord, but this week is when we're going to do it. So you don't get anything, Lupulin13, but you do get this amazing song from John Wenzel. Hit it!
You win.
You win.
You win. You win nothing at all.
But you're still cool.
All right, that was perfect. Thank you, Reddit. If you want to chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit up the Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM or call us at 619-PAULASK. Coming up, Jason and I chat about all the things that you should be watching. I mean, we go deep. How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus.
on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey everybody, you might be noticing we are doing a new thing with How Did This Get Made's back catalog every week. We are re-releasing an old episode. Last week's episode that we re-released was Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2 with Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen. Great, fun, live episode. And we are going to continue our horror month, our Howl Did This Get Made month, with Vampire Academy featuring Aisling Bea and Michael Showalter. So make sure that you are checking out the old episodes that are freshly put in our stream every Monday. You can watch my YouTube video series on them. Just go to my YouTube page. I'm just, you know, YouTube.com/Paul Scheer. If you want to access our entire archive of How Did This Get Made episodes, commercial free, just sign up for Stitcher Premium. Use code BONKERS and get a free 1 month trial. New episodes, old episodes, it's all there. Okay, we spent a lot of time hearing from you, but now it is time for you to hear from us. It is now time for our Jason and Paul Quartet. Francis Day, hit the theme.
Quartet, it's the meeting of minds. Quartet, for these miserable times. Quartet, it's just Jason and Paul. Quartet, they're gonna tell you it all.
TV, comics, sports, film, mental health, and probably Avatar.
A myriad of questions, you know they're gonna probably talk about Star Wars.
You just fucking know they will.
Quartet, it's a hell of a time. Quartet, better than breakdancing minds. Call John Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas, and I'll chat now.
Jason, what is going on?
Hey-o! How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know,
here we are.
We are back again. We got to come up with a better name for Quartet because
sure.
It's not necessarily Quartet anymore. It's just it's just chat.
How about just chat?
Just chat. I like a just chat.
Just chat, no quar. All chat, no quar.
You know what I realized?
What's that?
Was the last time I saw you, I had to run out because we did our live show at Largo.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to book it across town to get to Man's Chinese Theater where they were screening RRR on IMAX.
Incredible. And that must have been incredible.
It was hands down one of the most amazing screenings I have ever seen in my life. Like, and I say this now, if you don't know what RRR is, it's a movie that kind of has taken, like, I feel like it's a word of mouth movie. It's a cult movie. Like, there aren't cult movies anymore, but I feel like this movie,
well, it's definitely
has done that, right?
Oh, for sure. I definitely think it is one of the, like, I feel like it's going to make a lot of year-end lists. It's going to be on a lot of, like, no, wait, the slept-on movie of the year is this movie, you know, RRR,
yes.
which came out on Netflix, which is internationally an enormous hit, is my understanding.
It's the one of the biggest hits, if not the biggest hit in India's history. And as a matter of fact, it is going full on for Oscars. Like,
good,
it is
good.
Driving towards Oscars. I mean, part of the reason why they did this screening was because it was announcing itself as we're coming. And India did not submit it as their film for the Oscars.
Really?
Yes. So that's a little bit of the drama.
What I would love is, this is one of those examples where I feel like the movie is dealt a disservice by being a Netflix streaming only option, because it is so cinematic and so based. It is over 3 hours of relentless, incredible spectacle. When I get excited and I'm watching stuff, I will take either pictures of the screen or little videos of these 15 seconds that I just found perfect or incredible, and I'll forward them to people, or I'll just keep them in my phone or whatever. I have so many RRR little videos, little 5 seconds, because the movie was constantly blowing my mind.
I was so excited for you to see it that I didn't even talk about it on a Quartet, which is now just chat, because I wanted you to experience it the way that I did, which was, okay, I hear good things about this movie.
Yeah.
I hear it's crazy. I hear it's intense. And the 3.5 hour length, I was like, oh boy, when am I going to be in the mood to do that? It seems like a big time commitment. And I was like, let me just watch like the first 15 minutes. I didn't shut it off.
Oh, yeah.
It went, I watched it straight
and now
through
that you're saying
and
it,
loved
it. I would kill to watch it on an IMAX screen or even just on a big theatrical screen. Like,
I mean, Jason,
it was huge.
It's huge. The director, it was his first time seeing the film in IMAX in the States.
Oh, cool.
He had only seen two American screenings, one in New York, and this is the first one he'd seen in LA. And I hosted like a Q&A after the film, but I got to watch the last hour in that theater. And first of all, I watched it on Netflix, and I know a lot of people have issues about the ratio and the dubbing because it's not...
Uh-huh.
The dubbing that they do on Netflix is not the way that you should probably see it. And I got to say, they are 100% right.
Oh, really?
This movie. Oh, my God. I was already blown away by it, but the theater audience never quieted down.
Yeah.
It was
like
waves. It's a roar.
The movie
down,
is...
Roar, die down, roar.
The movie is enormous in terms of what it's depicting on screen. It is like Avengers Endgame level. I want to be clear with people because people might think like, oh, they're talking about some, you know, small foreign movie that I've never heard of or blah, blah, blah. You might be picturing some small movie or something. This movie is like, it's like someone was like, hey, you want to watch Avengers Endgame? Except it's even like twice as insane in terms of what they're depicting on screen. It's nuts level stuff.
It is one of the best action films that has musical numbers in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's about friendship.
Yep.
There is a romance. I would argue the romance is really between the two men in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And it is, look, what you said, spectacle. I learned a couple of things that if you have not seen the film, this will not wreck anything. But the director, he was in an Indian film think tank where they just came up with ideas for action scenes.
Oh, just
so
scenes.
They would just scenes. Like, and then people would come in and take them, I imagine. It would be like, okay, we have this. You know, a motorcycle jumps over this and that. And so he had done that for...
I wonder how much those people buy those scenes for. I wonder how much those writers get paid to come up with just sellable, like, set pieces is basically
what
you're pitching.
I have a feeling that you're working for a studio, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure,
so you are like, we're making this. We need like a bunch of set pieces and a director comes in and talks to them.
Well, that's like how John Peters was constantly trying to get that mechanical spider into something and finally got into Wild West.
100%.
As Kevin Smith told us on this show. Yeah.
But the idea that this guy had been coming up with action scenes and then he saw them in film and was like, well, this sucks. I would have done this way better.
Yeah.
That's what made him want to become
a
director.
It. Yeah. Well, that's a little bit like Chad Stahelski and David Leitch, who made John Wick. The original John Wick, my understanding, is a lot of those pieces and set pieces are things they had pitched for other movies that they were stunt coordinators on that people didn't use. So, but they still liked the ideas and still wanted to use them. So a lot of that got reworked into John Wick stuff.
I mean, it's amazing. And then the other thing that I learned was he works with a concept artist.
Oh,
so
cool.
They will sit down and be like, what is something that is truly beautiful to look at? Like, what do we want to see? And if that image is, I want to see a man throwing a tiger at another man.
Yeah.
They go, okay, let's work backwards.
Yeah. How can we make that work?
Yes, yeah, so that's why the movie is so visually beautiful, because it is all coming from, let's heighten it and then go backwards.
And then reverse engineer it to make sense.
Yeah.
Now that you say that makes sense, because the movie is constantly surprising.
And a
little bit, like, if you're listening to us rave about it, it maybe temper your expectations, or I don't know. Like, part of why I think I truly freaked out was because you had mentioned it kind of in passing.
Yeah.
I'd seen a couple of mentions of it on different like film blogs and so forth. But no, I hadn't read any. I didn't know much of anything other than it was a very long kind of spectacle filled movie. And I went in and just had a blast. right?
Yes. So, and it's a fun. Yeah. It's fun.
Yes. Oh, it's so, so fun. It's like, it's the kind of movie that I would be so excited to rewatch. It's the kind of movie that, like, if I turned on the TV and it was on, I would watch it from then till the end. It is, like, very rewatchable, very, it's very fun, it's like popcorn kind of blockbuster.
And it's right there on Netflix, and I'll tell you a couple other things. These are just side notes, but all interesting, I think, especially because you and I like the same stuff. Movie took 328 days to shoot.
Oh, wow. Just to be clear with people, that is an incredibly long time.
That's James Cameron length.
Yes, that there are only very few people make movies that take that long to shoot, you know?
Yeah, that is, yeah. And I think actually even longer, because the way he described it was they would shoot a sequence, then they would wrap, and then they would move on to the next sequence and then shoot it. Like, so there would be days off in between.
And were
so
they, it wasn't, I'm curious, like, did they have a set script, or were they kind of, was it like Macquarie and Mission Impossible, where they have a loose idea and then they kind of are getting further and further as they're shooting into deciding what they're doing?
The way he spoke about it was that they had these chapters. So I have a feeling that there was some fluidity in the chapters. Yeah. But he said that, you know, he writes it with his dad. This man writes it with his dad. His dad is in Indian Parliament. His dad's written hundreds of movies.
Oh, wow.
And he said that the reason why he thinks his action works, and because the action is spectacular, yeah, we talked about a couple of those reasons. He said because his dad always makes sure there is an emotional heartbeat in every scene. And when he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, every action scene in this movie is coming from a purely emotional place. It, like, which
there's, I like, think, there is, like, the movie is, as much as we're describing it as this big, huge action movie with all these set pieces and comparing it to things that we love, like, you know, the Marvel movies or the Fast and Furious movies, or it has all of that in it, but it is predicated almost entirely on melodrama, on, like, very emotional storytelling and emotional story beats. And that's what makes it. And I think that what I really loved about it, and why I hope that there's more, and I hope that there's more things like this, is that it's not predicated on pre-existing IP. Like, I'm discovering these characters and this world and everything inside of it brand new. I don't have to have watched six movies prior. I don't have to have read the comics or know the 10 things, you know, from the other thing.
Like, watching it in a theater, and the way I found out about this movie was my friends were seeing it in L.A., and the screening seemed wild. It gives you the same feeling of Avengers Endgame, which you've just given 10 years of your life to, you know, in film watching, and that you're like, oh my gosh, it's all paying off. And, or like going to see a new Star Wars movie. It's giving you all of that, but self-contained from beginning to end.
And completely satisfying. You know what I mean? Like, really genuinely, like, it's not too much story. It's not too much. Really just, I loved it. I loved
and
it.
And there's another one of his films on Netflix called Bahubali. And there's two of those. And that one's really good, too. It's different. But again, visually, really exciting and fun.
Have you watched that one? I didn't even know there was another one.
I did. Oh, nice. And then he also I think 2012 or 2015 made The Fly, like an Indian version of The Fly.
Cool. Great.
It's like, that one is insane because it's about like a nerdy guy who gets killed by a gangster and comes back as a fly and then is destined to kill the gangster.
Cool. Like, okay, it's a very different version of The Fly.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that.
So a very like fun, he's a very interesting director. Anyway, he says his next film is going to be a globe-trotting adventure, but I do think this has a chance to get nominated. I think it has a chance to get nominated for Best Song and Best Picture.
I think it should. You know, I really do feel like, and a lot of the movies we're talking about, I love, you know, all the stuff we love, all the, you know, I'm not trying to say like, oh no, all these big IP things, I don't care for them. As I'm looking at my list of things for us to discuss, and it's like Andor, Rings of Power, House of the Dragon, like I love all of the big kind of tentpole IP-driven content. I love a lot of it. But
it's just fun to see something where you just walk in.
When you discover something that is truly unique and new, and a new voice and a new style and new characters, that feels like discovery. It doesn't feel like what I love about Andor is It's not the same as what I loved about RRR. RRR was like exciting discovery. I was like jumping off the sofa screaming, you know?
Well, it was so funny because June has started to watch WandaVision.
Oh, nice.
And you know, and I was trying to explain it to her. And I was like, okay, how do I even bring her into this?
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of stop down.
That show especially is very difficult to parse if you are going in cold.
And I think I did it well, but it is. It's, I think that sometimes people find just an obstacle of, oh, there's too many seasons. There's too much there. I mean, for me, it's the reason why I've never watched Doctor Who, even though I think I would love Doctor Who.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just started Doctor Who. Just mere weeks ago, I'm almost done with season one. With the season that I started first, which is the Christopher Eccleston season, which is, my understanding is, like the beginning of the modern era of Doctor Who.
Okay, is that the one that starts? Because someone once told me, if you want to watch Doctor Who, you have to watch the one where there are like mannequins that come to life, or there's some sort of a mall. Devin, I know, maybe are expert on this. Is that part of that season?
Yeah, it is. That's the first episode, really. Yep. Is the Autons, the shop window dummies coming to life? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they say, if you like that, you're gonna like the show, and I did. Yeah. And then, but it seemed daunting. It seemed
it is daunting, and that's the reality. But I'm treating it like. And maybe I people are going to be angry. I'm treating it like it's the perfect afternoon watch. It's the perfect, like, I'm winding down the night. I've watched House of Dragon, whatever I'm watching.
Right.
And I'm going to have a Doctor Who as like a, while I'm, you know, winding down the night, because they're very fun. They're self-contained, almost always self-contained, you know, and they're great little sci-fi stories. Each one feels like its own self-contained sci-fi story, and they're fantastic.
Now you have to see which doctor you're going to like. Karen Gillan. One of the Doctor Who, now I forget what they're called, but they are the
companions.
Companions. And that's the thing is, you know, you're watching, you know, I'm watching this one season that is, I'm still in this one season that is, I think, 2005, Devin, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 2005. And what's interesting, and what I'm only certain is going to become much more prevalent as I go, is all of the ancillary one-off characters per episode are like British actors of note, you know, of note later. You know, here's like someone's, here's someone's small job on an episode of Doctor Who, someone who later becomes like iconic. And you're like, oh, wow, look at this. You know, it's very cool.
I love that. And maybe I should get into it. It's so hard.
The beauty of it is if you take 3 weeks off in between two episodes, you're not lost.
See, that is good. That's why I really like Discovery, too, the Star Trek shows. Like, I could binge like three in a row, then drop it and then come back. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is great. But anything that you've been excited about besides Doctor Who?
I've watched a couple things that I really have been enjoying. I'll shout out a couple of like stand-up specials that I've loved, including our good friend Nick Kroll's special Little Big Boy.
Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about that. It was so great. And he's been working on that. What's so interesting about that, if people have watched it or have not watched it yet, is, you know, that was going to be a different special.
Yes.
Pre-pandemic.
Yes.
He was getting ready.
He was touring that material. Or he was touring some of that material and then some other material, and was set to record it in, I think, in D.C. right in 2020.
And then
had to cancel.
And then during the pandemic, got married, had a kid, like did the whole thing. And it's so interesting because it really is such an interesting like time capsule of a period of life. Like you really got to see, like it really, it almost like he created a really great autobiography in that special.
It really is. It's such an interesting depiction of this time of his life. But then also if you are somebody who's been following him, it's so interesting to watch that act or that material evolve and grow into what it is now. It's a great special. Kate Berlant has a great special called Cinnamon in the Wind.
Which is not her Broadway show, which people are going crazy for right now.
No, this was filmed, I think, in maybe, this was filmed prior to the pandemic. This was,
yes, this was
Bo
when
Burnham
FX
shot it, and it's on Hulu. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, FX was about to, FX a handful of times have really like saw the future and then pulled away from it. They had like this whole network where they could basically fill it with whatever they wanted. They had these specials and they never launched them. They like were sitting on a shelf. There's hers and I forget the other one, but they're two very good specials. All right.
Are you thinking of Byron? Byron Bowers?
Is it Byron? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think those might have been the
I
two.
I think that's that because that also just came out on Hulu. Yeah, and that, I watched that as well. It's also on my list and is fantastic.
Yeah.
Really funny. Super, like both of them. Incredibly funny, incredibly smart. Really, I loved both of those specials. And Nick's as well, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
So lots of good comedy specials. I was going to shout out, there's a great British sitcom on HBO called Bloods that is about like ambulance drivers. That's about, you know, paramedics. Samson Keo, who's on Our Flag Means Death and a bunch of other stuff. Jane Harricks, who's like you'll recognize from a million British things. It follows them. But then all the supporting players are people you've seen in Ghosts and Stafflet's Flats. And it's super funny. And it's just, you know, what's his name from Mighty Boosh? Not Noel, but
Julian Barrett.
Julian Barrett. Thank you so much. Who is so funny on this show.
Julian Barrett and I are... we were working on a show at one point together and he was on NTSF and he's one of the best. I'm just a fan of everything he does. And we were both taking an online class and we not know that we were both in that online class, but they had like names.
How weird.
And like in it, we both discovered each other in that class. We're like, oh my gosh, are you on this? It was
really funny.
Like, yeah, that we both happened to be in the same, like very
that.
Small online class.
And then
and now, well, now, yeah, we're, now we're both massage therapists.
Congratulations. Yeah. You know, that's how I want my massage therapist to train online.
Yeah. They just give us like some, they call it like it's a weird putty, but it's big. It's like almost the size of a torso. And
it's like a CPR doll, but it's like made of putty.
But it like, yeah, you can really push it in and you send, every time you do a massage, you send it back and they look at where the prints are.
What else was I going to say? Oh, you know, I'll say just for the sake of British shows, Blood's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I'll say I've also been rewatching, and it's all on YouTube. There's a fantastic 12-minute episode show called Posh Nosh. That's a Richard E. Grant show from, I'm going to say, 20 something years ago. That is just, it looks like episodes of the Barefoot Contessa or something like that. It looks like a cooking show between a husband and wife in their British countryside home. But it's really, it looks like a cooking show, but is also just like comedy sketches, you know, comedy bits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So funny. And then just like so digestible because they, like I said, they're like 15 minutes long each. Great.
Oh my gosh. I'm very excited about that. I gotta watch it. This is good.
What else? I fucking loved Confess Fletch.
Oh, I have been dying to watch it, and I just waited a little bit, and I thought June would want to watch it with me.
She will because it's a murder mystery.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
It's a procedural murder mystery done incredibly well. It feels like an old episode of Columbo or, you know, any of those kind of like more movie length, you know, Rockford Files type of shows or type of movies, and it's great. Don't think of it as like a sequel or anything that's even related to the Chevy Chase movies. Just think of it as a great private detective story. It's just good detective stories. And that's a blast. And go ahead.
You finish. I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to shout out. I just started The Serpent Queen on Stars. And it's a blast. Samantha Morton, incredible performance. And the documentary about John McEnroe that's just called McEnroe is fucking
That's great. By the way, and I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I never had watched 7 Days in Hell. I've been playing a lot of tennis lately, and that was really funny.
Great.
Such a very short, fun mockumentary about like the longest tennis match. It's Andy Samberg, and it's, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting
Jake
his name.
Jake Szymanski directed it.
Yes.
Kit Harington is in it.
Kit Harington, yes. And then like Fred Armisen.
Yeah. Basically, Andy, the Lonely Island guys and Jake Szymanski set out to do a series of 30 for 30, like, style fake documentaries. And they did that one, and then they did one that's about, like, the Tour de France.
Oh, right, yeah.
That is also super funny, that has John Cena in it and a bunch of other people. And they're great, just parody documentaries that are done incredibly well and so funny. But the McEnroe documentary is fantastic. The Resort on Peacock. I want to shouting out Peacock shows, because from Killing It to We Are Lady Parts to this, The Resort, which is Ben Sinclair and Andy Sierra, who did Palm Springs, the Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti movie, did a fantastic, again, another true crime-esque, you know, people solve a murder type of story. William Jackson Harper, Kristen Milioti again, great cast, Nick Offerman, super fun show, really worth watching. The Resort on Peacock. There's good stuff on Peacock.
No, there. I now subscribe to Peacock based on a lot of these conversations we've had.
And just so we get more of it, everybody, please go to, I think it's on HBO Max now, and watch every single episode of 101 Places to Party Before You Die.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah.
our friends John Gabris and Adam Pally doing a travel log show a la Anthony
so
Bourdain
funny.
Or one of those things. But it's just them doing bits while out in the world, and it's a blast.
And they capture their voice really, really well. It's like, I feel like whoever made that show, I mean, obviously them, but they allowed them to be them.
Yes.
Like, and I think that that's a very rare thing sometimes. Like, I remember when we first started out, Amy Poehler might have said this, like, your funniest friend who gets famous will never be as funny as they are to you in life on TV. And it's one of those rare exceptions where right out of the gate, you're like, this person is doing exactly
and it really
everything
is,
I love them about.
I will say, like, and, you know, Pally's great everywhere. Gabris, so great, and I do feel like hasn't been given the opportunity to like slam dunk how funny we know John Gabris to be. And this show, Gabris is next level funny, like in every episode, and is also so revealing and so revelatory and so honest and so sincere and so sweet. And that's what's great about the show, is it's not just them doing bits and cracking each other up. It's also them being like sensitive bros. It's also them being sweet to each other, them being sweet to their families, but then also like going and partying so hard and doing absolute nonsense.
Well, we talked about this a little bit on the Twitch show with the two of them. You know, the reason why they did that show was because, you know, they've both had these tragic losses of parents that died very young. And it's sort of like, well, let's do this. Let's go out and enjoy this time that we have while we have it. And you don't know when the end will be. And that is, I love that mentality. I think that we sometimes forget that.
And that's what it feels like. And it feels like that they are, you know, you're also watching them kind of just live inside of their friendship, which is also very compelling to watch.
I want to call out just two quick things. If you got kids and you want to watch a good Halloween thing, we watched Gremlins with my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old. And let me tell you, that thing was a smash hit. I loved it. They went bananas for it. All you have to do, parents, is fast forward the two moments where Phoebe Cates talks a lot. Because there, one is about her father dying tragically, dressed as Santa Claus on Christmas. Don't want kids to hear that. And then there's another section where Phoebe Cates talks about why people commit suicide during the holidays.
Oh,
so there
boy.
Are two monologues that you want to, like, and you'll tell. Like, the movie is going to a moment where it's like, oh, Zach Gilligan and Phoebe Cates are taking a walk. Let's fast forward this.
Wow.
The kids don't mind it. They don't feel like they're missing anything. The violence is cartoony. It's really, really fun. And then I wanted to recommend something that I think that you would like, because I know that we both enjoy books on tape and things of that. Doug Bradley, who's known for playing Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Oh, okay.
Has this thing that you can get on Audible. It's called Doug Bradley's Spine Chillers Audiobooks.
Okay.
And it's him reading spooky stories, you know, and they're all like, you know, from Dickens and Lovecraft.
Oh, okay.
And William Burroughs, I believe, even, like, they're just like spooky.
So he just chooses stories to read.
Yes. Okay. And they are really well done.
Oh,
and yeah, they're really, really fun. And again, like I said, it's, you know, holiday time. You want to like get in the mood here. A spooky story told in a really well, in a spooky way. Doug Bradley's, they are, I'll read it one more time to make sure I get the title right.
That's
they
great.
Are, yeah, Spine Chillers. And there's, I think, a handful of volumes. I just got volume one and I'm enjoying it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll throw out, if people are enjoying Andor, like the seedy, dark, you know, side of the Star Wars universe, you know, assassinations, spycraft, all that stuff, which I'm loving. I'm also listening to a fantastic audiobook that is called Dark Disciple, which is which began as episodes of Clone Wars that focus on a plot that the Jedi put into effect where they have Quinlan Vos, who's one of the Jedi knights, team up with Asajj Ventress, who is Count Dooku's ex-Sith apprentice. So it's a Jedi and an ex-Sith apprentice team up to assassinate Count Dooku. And it's awesome.
Whoa, I got to get that.
Great book.
Ooh, I got to get that. You know what? I was thinking of you today because I was cleaning out my garage and I stumbled across my Prince Zizor or Zizor character. I don't know if you know about this. He is he was a Star Wars character, but I think he was before they really kind of... Uh-huh. I don't know if he's canon. Let me find. He is. Shadows of the Empire can now rejoice that one of its major characters, Prince Zizor, is returning to the Star Wars canon in Legends. He is the leader of the crime syndicate called the Black Sun.
I know what the Black Sun is. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So so in Crimson Reign he returns. But I was excited to see that character. I liked that character from back in the day.
I've also been loving you and everybody else, Tawny and Jack and everybody on Lower Decks. Like, absolutely fantastic season of Lower Decks.
I got to throw it back at you because your show, Prodigy, is... We were... Both of these shows were shouted out as being the two best Star Trek shows on the air by the New York Times.
Really?
There's a great great article about Star Trek.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's like, Star Trek is back. And it's back only with these two shows. I mean, it's a little bit, and this is what I was talking to somebody about, it's a little bit of a slight to the Star Trek universe because it's like, there's a lot of things that aren't working, but these two are really working, they should get you excited about what's going
they're
on.
They're really good, and I love Prodigy, and I'm obviously on it, and I think it's incredible, fun adventure storytelling, but Lower Decks is a blast. It makes me laugh, and I know so little of the mythology that they are referencing and playing with, but I'm still having such a blast.
To me, I'm a huge Deep Space Nine fan, and so when they got to go to Deep Space Nine, I'm like, oh, I love it, love it, love it.
Oh,
it's so good. All right, well, Jason, we'll talk again on Just Chat.
Can't wait, Just Chat.
All right, Just Chat. Thank you, Jason. Look, I love having Jason on the show. We're going to do it more, okay? We're going to have more Quark Chat. We're going to make it a little bit different. By the way, it's not even Quark Chat anymore. It's Just Chat. So we actually need some new songs. You can send those songs for Just Chat to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. And remember, keep them on the short side. But from here on in, Jason and I, our Just Chat is going to be a little bit more segmented. So what do you want to hear us talk about? Bags, TV, movies, Star Wars, you name it, we'll do it. And you'll see more of that in the upcoming weeks. But now that we got that out of the way, Wish Upon is gone. Let's talk about next week's film. This film is a film that you all picked. You voted for it on Discord. It won by a mile. We are going to go away from a movie starring a king, aka Joey King, to a film starring a butler. That's right. Next week, we are watching the first ever movie picked by the fans on our Discord, Dracula 2000, featuring How Did This Get Made? All-star Gerard Butler. Wait, what? I didn't know Gerard Butler was in this. Oh, damn, I'm excited. Here is a short breakdown of the plot. In the year 2000, a group of thieves break into a vault and accidentally free an imprisoned Count Dracula, who's been trapped long ago by his nemesis, Van Helsing. Now Dracula escapes to New Orleans to hunt Van Helsing's daughter, Mary, but Van Helsing sets out to imprison him once again. All right, so Rotten Tomatoes rates this film a 17% on the tomato meter, and Peter Stack from the San Francisco Chronicle says this movie is a bloody mess, one with acting so lame it's likely to prompt shrieks, not of horror, but of derisive laughter. Let's take a listen to the trailer.
For centuries, a secret has been buried beneath the streets of London.
You don't build this kind of security without a gold mine to hide.
Something ageless.
What the hell is that?
Something beyond your deepest fears.
What
What just happened in there?
He is Mephisto.
Who?
Draculia. Not myth. He's real. I assure you.
You can watch Dracula 2000 on Paramount Plus and AMC Plus. Also, FUBU TV. FUBU. Oh, boy. How many of these fucking streamers are there? You can also rent it on Apple TV, thank God, Amazon, or YouTube. Please check out Hoopla or Canopy, which are digital media services offered by your local public library that allow you to borrow movies, books, audiobooks, ebooks, comics, and TV shows, and more, all on your computer, tablet, or phone for free. That is it. Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. That is big. And you can always visit us on social media. Make sure you come out and see us on tour. Just go to hdtgm.com to find out the movies and days that we are on the road. And a big thank you to our producer, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Devin Bryant, and our publisher, July Diaz. We will see you next week for Dracula 2000.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.